Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. I am your host, Nadia, and I am very excited as we launch this YouTube channel. This is the very first episode of many episodes, Lord willing. We are going to be looking at least 60 women from the Word of God, maybe more. We'll see how the Lord leads. And we are just going to be looking at characters that are of all kinds of backgrounds, matriarchs, women of faith, heroines. And then, of course, we're going to be looking at women that are not so popular, women that don't have the greatest reputation in the Bible. We're going to be looking at women that have chapters devoted to them, and women that perhaps are just mentioned in one tiny little verse, just one verse. And the great thing about the Word of God is that every single woman that is mentioned in the Bible, any character, they are there for a reason, because we are going to glean truths that we can apply to in our own lives. And so I love, personally, I love obscure characters, those characters that you just hear a small little mention, because they are there for a reason. And so I'm really excited as we go through the whole series of the women of God in the Word of God. And so I'm not going to be doing any chronological order in this. I am just going to be led by the Spirit, however God wants me to speak on whatever character. And most of the time, I will probably be dedicating about two episodes to each woman, because there's a lot to say. There's a lot in the Word of God, and I don't really want to put everything in one episode. So most of the time, there will be two episodes. And so wherever you are, in your Christian walk, you might be a new believer. You might be a seasoned woman of God, mature in the faith. You might be very new in the Bible. The Bible perhaps is not something that you necessarily picked up before, but maybe you want to learn more about it. This channel is definitely for you. We are all here learning together. And I include myself in this, of course, because as teachers of the Word, very often and most often, a lot of this points to ourselves. And so we're all here to learn. We're all here to get closer to God. And so I'm excited as we are going to be looking at different characters. So for this very first episode, as I was pondering, who am I going to be talking about? Who am I going to start off this series with? And as I just inquired of the Lord, I felt that I should be talking about this particular character. Now, it just so happens that here in North America, we just had Mother's Day. I know in Europe there's, I forget what month Mother's Day is, but we just had Mother's Day. This character that I'm going to be speaking about today, she is a mother, but I am not going to be really be focusing on her motherhood. It's more so just looking at who she is. And I'll tell you why I want to talk about this particular woman. Number one, she is hungry. She is hungry to see God move in her life. And let me tell you something. This is the whole premise of my YouTube channel. The reason why I'm doing this is because I really want to see women come out who are hungry for the Word of God, hungry to know more, hungry to get closer. And this is this woman that I'm going to talk about today. She was hungry. She was desperate. How desperate are you for God to move in your life, to move in your situation? And that is this particular character. Number two, she has obstacles in her life, huge obstacles. And I love this because it is relatable. In our own lives, there are many obstacles. We might be going through something right now, a difficult thing, a difficult situation in our life, and we don't know how we're going to get through it. And there are obstacles. Now, sometimes obstacles in faith, you know what? It shouldn't keep us away from God, but in fact, they should draw us closer to God. And this is what happened with this woman in this particular story. She was an overcomer, and I love this, and we're going to talk about her. And number three, this woman, you know who she is? Well, I can't even tell you. I don't even know her name, because she's not even named in the Bible. And that's what I love about the Word of God. Like I said earlier, every person is there for a reason. She's not even named. She doesn't have a name, but it's relatable because sometimes in our own lives we figure, you know what, does God even see me? Does he even know that I'm here? Well, he knows your name. There's a song, he knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. It's a beautiful song. And that's why I love characters that have no names, characters that are somewhat obscure, because they are relatable. He knows what you're going through. And today, who am I talking about? Let me finally get to it. I am talking about the Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, we can turn to it if you have your Bibles. It is verses 21 to 28. Now, don't worry if you don't have your Bible on you. You will see the scripture verses come across the screen so we can follow together. So let's look and turn to Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the breads or the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed that very hour. Wow, what an amazing story. It is an interesting story. It is a story that, you know what, it's not something that we would almost expect when we look at this story just with the natural eye and just look at it at face value. It's a story that we would almost think, you know what, if I were to share who Jesus was to an unbeliever, would I use this story? Maybe not, maybe yes. But there's a reason. As we look at the story, we think automatically, Jesus was rude. Jesus was somewhat offensive. Jesus almost seemed to be cruel. But is that true? No, it's not true. There's a reason behind why he responded that way. And we're going to get to that. But first of all, let's talk about the woman. Let's talk about the Canaanite woman, who she is. What we know about her. Well, first of all, we know, the Bible says here, that she was Canaanite. She was from the region of Sidon and Tyre. And during that time, the Canaanites and the Jews, they did not get along. They didn't like each other. They were at opposite ends. And so we know that, of course, she wasn't a Jew. She was a Canaanite. And so they would not talk to each other. Secondly, what else do we know about her? Well, we could presume that she was married or she was a widow, perhaps, but we know one thing for sure. She had one daughter. That's what we know for sure. And that seems to be all that we know about her. She was a Canaanite. She was either married, widowed, had a daughter. And thirdly, we don't even know her name, as I mentioned before. We don't know her name. She was nameless. And that's what I love in the Word of God. She was nameless, yet this story was put in God's Word for a reason, and she was vindicated. And this is what I love. Whatever's abased will be exalted, as it says in the Word of God. And here God takes a very ordinary person and turns it out into extraordinary. And that's what he wants to do in my life and in your life. Taking the ordinary and turning it into extraordinary. And so what we find out about this Canaanite woman is that she ends up being one of the most incredible mothers in the Word of God. Now, you're probably saying to me, well, how do you even know that? There's nothing here that even tells us what kind of mother she was, what her techniques were, what her mothering skills were. In fact, we don't even have her daughter come up to testify to say how great of a mom she was. So how can you even say that she was a great mother? Well, she was a great mother for a reason. When we think about the word mother, what's the first word that comes to our mind? The first word that comes to our mind is love. A mother's love. And a mother's love is unlike any other earthly love. And that's why a mother's love can be compared to the father's love. Not quite, but it's an earthly love that can be compared to the father's love. It's a love that will go anywhere. It'll break all barriers. And we see here in the scripture that this particular Canaanite woman broke all barriers. How do we know that? She broke all barriers when we think about why she was there at the scene in the first place. Now, she was there, why? Because of her daughter. And she was willing to surpass enormous obstacles. Now, just face value, what were some of these obstacles? Number one, well, first of all, I did tell you she was a Canaanite. The Jews hated the Canaanites. The Canaanites hated the Jews. It's kind of like what we see today. Today, you know what, there are a lot of groups that hate one another. And the Bible says that in the last days, nation will rise against nation. Ethnic groups will rise against ethnic groups. And so back then, it was no different than what we see today. In fact, it's escalating today. And so these two groups were at odds with one another. And you were not even allowed to talk to the Jews. And so she was a Canaanite. The Jews looked down upon her. And what was the second obstacle that was against her was the fact that she was a woman. And back in those days, women meant absolutely nothing. So she was a nothing because she was a Canaanite. She was a nothing because she was a woman. But you know what? She didn't let that stop her or rob her from her blessing. Just by virtue of how she was born into this world, as a Canaanite, as a woman, she didn't let that stop her. And what we see in this particular scripture is that we see that she came to Jesus. Now you gotta picture this. She's in the region of Sidon and Tyre, and that area is right by the Mediterranean Sea. Jesus was walking through that area, and you had to imagine, there she was coming to Jesus. Now, there were people that probably knew her. There were people that recognized her, knew her fellow Canaanites that were there, knew who she was, maybe neighbors. And all of a sudden, she talked to a Jew. Like, that was a big no-no. That was a social faux pas, if I can call that. It was breaking the rules. What are you doing talking to a Jew? Never mind just talking to him. But she was crying out after him. She says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. She was crying out for him. Can you imagine the shock of her fellow friends that were witnessing this? You can only imagine what their faces were like. What are you doing? This is not something that you do. But you know what? She didn't care. She didn't care. And that's what I love about this. She loved her daughter so much that she was willing to strip her pride of what other people thought about her. Now, here's a little thing that we have to think about. Sometimes, you know, we get too concerned about what other people think when it comes to spiritual matters. We get too concerned. We might be in church. We're almost afraid to raise our hands, sing to the music. We don't want to look too spiritual. We're afraid that somebody's going to judge us. We get too concerned about what other people think. Even in the workplace, I don't know if I'm going to share Jesus because, you know, there's other faiths here and I don't want them to shun me. I don't want them to think, you know, I'm something. And you know, you don't want to be the outcast. But here was this incredible woman of God that she broke those barriers. She didn't care what anybody thought. Her mission was to get to Jesus. Her mission was to come to him. And that's what I love It didn't stop her from seeking Jesus. It didn't stop her from going further. She was hungry. And this is what this whole premise is about. This is what this YouTube channel is about. Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry? She was hungry. I love this. No, there was a problem. There was a problem in this situation. What was her problem? She came to Jesus because she had a problem. What was her problem? She cried out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed." Her daughter was demon possessed. Wow. Not just demon possessed, severely demon possessed. The Bible uses the word severely, which in that day we know there were a lot of demon possessions. And to be severely demon-possessed meant that there was some kind of bodily contortions. There could have been foaming at the mouth. It was something that was very apparent, very visible. Everybody saw it. Severely demon-possessed. Let me tell you something. It doesn't mean that people aren't demon-possessed today because we don't see bodily contortions and don't see foaming at the mouth. You know, when the Antichrist comes, he's not going to be foaming at the mouth and doing bodily contortions. He's going to probably come in his beautiful three-piece suit and everybody's going to see. The Bible says, you know, he's going to be quite suave and smooth and fool everybody. You can be demon-possessed with full of addictions to all kinds of things and have demons in you. That's how we see demons today. But in this particular situation, she had, her daughter was severely demon-possessed. The worst of its kind. And what I love about this story, you got to understand something. She was Canaanite. She was used to serving the pagan gods, the god of the sun, the god of the moon, the god of the wind, the god of the stars, every kind of god. But she understood that these gods could not deliver her daughter. Isn't that amazing? These gods could not deliver, but she recognized Jesus, Son of David, could help her daughter. I love that. She recognized Jesus because somewhere along the way, now you got to realize, of course, back in the day as Jesus was traveling, he was healing people. He was touching people's lives. He was delivering them. He was the miracle worker, and his fame spread throughout the region, throughout the country. She heard about him. She heard about Jesus and she recognized who he was and she knew that he could do something about her problem. I love that. Can I tell you something, ladies? It's not enough just to recognize who Jesus is. You know how the world is today. The world says, yeah, you know, you ask them, do you believe in Jesus? Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I recognize who he is. Well, that's great. Do you serve him? Do you pray? Do you delve into the Word of God? Do you go to church? Is your life changed? So many people say they believe in God, but there's no change. There's no transformation. Oh, they recognize, yeah, Jesus died on a cross and it's good enough. I'm going to heaven. I know who he is. They know he exists. Listen, it's not about existence. You know, take this candle. I have this candle here, right here. I know that this candle is here. It exists. You see it. I see it. It's here. I believe in this candle. But is this candle going to change my life? No. But I believe it exists. Is that enough? No. And so a lot of people today, they say that. I believe he exists and it's good enough. It's not good enough. To believe, the word pistevo, what it says in the Greek, because the New Testament was written in the Greek. Pistevo means to believe with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. You believe. Faith without works is dead. You have to put it into action. She put it into action. That's what I love. So many people here in Canada, you know, the poll says that two-thirds of Canadians believe that God exists. Well, that's great. That God is real. That's great. But are their lives changed? Listen, if people really believed the pistevo kind of belief that we ought to believe in the Bible, you know what? This whole country would be completely transformed. completely, people would be hungering for God. Lives would be different. Lives would be transformed. And so here we see this woman. She came to Jesus. She was going to do something about her problem. Her problem was her daughter was severely demon possessed. And can I tell you something? She would have never met Jesus if she didn't have that problem. Can I say it again? She would have never met Jesus if she didn't have that problem. Think about it in your own life. You know, so often when we go through problems, we end up grumbling and we're complaining. Why am I doing this? Why is this happening to me? Why am I, you know, I've learned to never ask God why, because there's only one answer to the why, because he wants you to draw closer to him, me and you drawing closer to God. That's why we go through some of the things that we are going through. Because we try so many things on our own, trying to fix our own problems. He says, no, come to me. Come to me. She came to him. She realized the pagan gods were not going to help her. She went straight to Jesus. Straight to Jesus. And that's why he uses those devastating circumstances sometimes in our lives that we get very uncomfortable with. Our problem is that we grumble, we complain, we go to other people. Oh, why is this happening? And you're telling everybody else about it. Everybody except Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. And this is what she did. She came to Jesus to tell him about her problem. What do we do? What do we do? And sometimes, you know, ladies, we get so indifferent. Sometimes we go through that problem for such a long period of time that we almost give up on it. And it's like, you know what? I guess I'm just going to continue to go through this. You know, do you ever ask people and say to them, you know, how are you doing? How are you doing? How have you been keeping? And they say, well, I'm surviving. I'm coping. You know, same old, same old. Well, ladies, guess what? You are not meant to cope in your situation. You are not meant to just be a survivor. You are not meant to cope. You are meant to conquer. We are more than conquerors in Christ. We are triumphant in Christ. He is allowing this situation, whatever you are going through, so that he could be glorified through it. So you can come to him. You can tell him about your situation. You can pour out your heart to him so that you can see the miraculous God just turn it around. You're not meant to survive or cope. You are meant to conquer, to look to him, because he is the answer of all answers. And so as we look in this situation, there she was. She decided she wasn't just going to cope. She wasn't just going to survive, but she was going to do something. She was going to step out in faith. She could have easily said, you know what, this is my lot. Ladies, whatever you are going through, it is not your lot. God wants to turn it around and be glorified. Now, you have to understand, as Jesus was traveling in that day, in the different places, the Bible says that he came about to heal all kinds of diseases, all kinds of sicknesses. And he was touching people's lives. He was healing people. He was delivering them. He was doing a great and mighty work. And that's why, of course, his fame spread. But you know what? In this particular situation, this Canaanite woman, her daughter was not physically dying. It was far worse. Her daughter was spiritually dying. Spiritually dying. Satan had his clutches on her daughter, so much so that it was killing her. Let me tell you something. You know what? Does Satan have his clutches on your child, on your son, on your daughter, on your husband, on your loved one? How desperate are you when you see that, when they're going through things spiritually? And it's like, how am I going to deal with this? The answer is always the same. The answer is Jesus. And that's exactly what she did. She had enough spiritual insight. You see, a lot of people that day did not even recognize who Jesus was, but she recognized he was the Son of David. He was Lord. And she cried out, have mercy on my child. She realized that her child needed a spiritual healing. What do you do when you see Satan clutching your child, your loved one? Ladies, are you desperate? Do you come to Jesus? Do you cry out to him? Do you continuously cry out to him? Do you go that extra mile like she did? Because you know what? A mother, when she sees her child in pain, the pain that you see your child in is carried upon your heart, and it's almost worse than what they are going through. You watch in helplessness, and that's the marks of motherly love. You carry that pain, and she carried that pain. And let's see what the scripture says. So when she cried out, what happened? Verse 22, she cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely possessed. But he answered her not a word, not a word. Wow. Does that seem cruel to you? Does that seem rude to you? You know, if there was ever a time to be upset, you might end up saying, if this was yourself, well, you know what, if that's how you feel about it, Jesus, I'm never coming to you again. And I'm not going to ask you anything. But was that how this story ended? No, I'm going to stop right here for today. Because you know what, Jesus responds. We're going to look at how he responded and why he responded. And what's interesting is that she passed certain tests. She didn't only pass one test or two tests or three tests. She passed four tests before God gave her exactly what she cried out for. Let me tell you something. It is an incredible story. Talk about perseverance. Talk about overcoming obstacles. Talk about faith. Wow, this is an incredible story. She had no excuses. Talk about hunger. And we're going to talk about it the next time in episode 2. And I hope you join me. But the challenge today for you is, ladies, where are you spiritually? Are you coping with something? Are you just surviving your circumstance? And it's been something that's been going on for a long period of time. Jesus is saying, come to me. Is that you today? If that's you, I just want to pray with you. You might be going through a really difficult time, but I want to pray with you. And I want to believe that God is going to cause you to rise up in your circumstances. Can we pray? Father, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you, O God, that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And I thank you, Father, as we look at the life of the Canaanite woman, Lord, what an overcomer. We are going to discover some more amazing truths, O God. But Lord, there are perhaps some women today that are watching that are carrying a great pain, just like this woman in the scripture carried. Lord, that she was at the end of herself. And Lord Jesus, today we recognize, we don't just recognize that you exist, but we recognize you as Lord, as the Messiah. And we are crying out the same thing, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Lord Jesus, I pray for the women that are watching today, as we raise our hands unto you, we're saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Hear my cry. We come to you, Lord, and we will continuously come to you because, Lord, we are hungry. We are hungry for you and hungry for an answer in our situation. And, Father, we lay this down at your feet today, and we say, Lord, take it, and, Lord, be glorified. And so, Lord, bless the women that are watching, O God. Give them that miracle that they are so longing for. We commit them to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. So ladies, until episode 2, join me the next time. And don't forget to subscribe to 60 Women in the Bible, episode 2. Oh my goodness. We're going to look at the second part and see how this Canaanite woman overcame all these incredible tests. So until then, may the Lord richly bless you. And remember, make today count in the kingdom of God. Read his word. Delve into it. Pray and seek his face. Bless someone. Make today count. May the Lord richly bless you.